Well, good morning. So I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians here this morning. And actually, a little confession here. Much of what I'm speaking on this morning comes from a study that I gave on a Wednesday night a couple months ago while we were in Ephesians. So for some of you, this may sound familiar. Hopefully it's worth hearing again. And you can get your money back from Fred. And actually, I should get some credit. I am recycling this message. So this is a earth-friendly message. Small carbon footprint. So the book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book. So much is in the book. And what I want to focus on here this morning is that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's really the thrust of what I want to talk about here this morning, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a heavenly people. A heavenly people. Yet we live here on the earth. And we are bombarded with the ways, the philosophies, the values of this world, yet we are to live heavenly lives. We're to live lives that are reflecting the reality of heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how do we do that here on earth? Because it is a difficult thing. Our lives should be in stark contrast to what we see around us, to the, as I said, the values, the ethics, the mores of this world. So how can we live this life, this heavenly life that we're called to? How can we do that? And the book of Ephesians provides us some answers to that. So that's what I want to talk about here this morning. Just as a brief summary, the book of Ephesians is divided into two main parts. Chapters 1 through 3 is the doctrinal portion of the book, 1 through 3. And then chapters 4 through 6 is the practical portion of the book. Chapters 1 through 3, that doctrinal portion, is what God declares to be true about himself, about his son, about the church, and about us as believers. What he declares to be true. And then chapters 4 through 6 is how these truths should affect my life, day to day. Our conduct, our walk, it should affect that. A few examples of what God declares to be true about us. Let's take a look. Ephesians 1, verse 3. And I'm speaking of those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. What the Bible declares to be true about you, if you know Jesus as your Savior. The Bible also declares some things to be true about those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we will speak to that later on. But Ephesians 1, 3, if you know the Lord today, Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, you have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It takes a lifetime, it takes eternity to know all what that means. I'm not going to stand here and pretend I know all what that means. But that's the reality. Ephesians 1, 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you are accepted in the beloved. You know, I think about my kids. Sometimes I come home and maybe they've got like peanut butter all over their face and they've got snot running down their nose and maybe their shoes are muddy and they want to come and hug me. And I push them away. No, I'm not going to hug you right now because look at you. But, you know, the Heavenly Father's not like that. He's not like that. He sees all of our, you know, snot running down our nose. He sees the sin. He knows everything about us, yet he embraces us. We are accepted in the Beloved. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know him, we are accepted in him. Ephesians 2:6, another wonderful verse. Actually, I'll start in verse 4. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, or made us alive together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So here's another thing that God declares to be true about a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In some wonderful way, we are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. It's already done. We talk about when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Brother Thor is there with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But in some wonderful way, we are already seated there in heavenly places. Again, what God declares to be true and not necessarily how I feel. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We've been brought into a citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven when you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all these things are true. And you notice all of these things are in the past tense. It's already been done. It's accomplished. It's already true of us as believers. So, as I said, it's broken down in those sections, chapters 1 through 3. You could think about it as our heavenly calling or a heavenly reality. Chapters 4 through 6, earthly conduct. Our earthly conduct. So, we are a heavenly people. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we are called to live lives consistent with that reality. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Take a look at the beginning of this practical section, like I mentioned, Ephesians 4:1. This is the beginning of this new section. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says, therefore. All of those wonderful things that are true in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, because those things are true, therefore, we are to walk in the reality of those truths. And if we don't know those truths, we have a hard time walking in that reality. That's why it's so important to be in the Word of God and see these things for ourselves. Because these things are true, therefore, walk in them. And here's what I want to say. I've been saying that a lot, but I want to say this. There is a life to live. There is a new nature in a believer, in the believer. There is a life to live. That's what we're called to do. Take a look at Ephesians 2:10. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. We're saved and we're separated. We're taken out of this world and brought into his purpose to do something. Good works that God has created for us to do. There's a life to live. And so often we are satisfied with just the everyday normal life, struggling in the flesh. But as I said, there is a life to live. People used to say, maybe not so much anymore, but they used to say, get a life. Get a life. Well, you know what? I have a life. I have the greatest life that anyone could ever have. I have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in me, flowing through me. I have a heavenly life. That's the life that I'm called to live. And that's what Ephesians talks about. Ephesians talks about this wonderful life that we have already there for us to live. So the passage that I'm going to be speaking on is out of this practical portion, Ephesians 4, verse 17. So in this passage, we'll see how we can live this life while we're here on the earth, and what this life looks like, and what it doesn't look like. So that's what we're going to talk about. And the message I want everyone to understand is that we have every provision to live this life. Every provision. Every resource that we would require to live this life, we have. So I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. This is the portion I'm going to be in this morning. And we're just going to go through it. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. You can follow along. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, or from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that we have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former behavior the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you that, Lord, you've given us your word that we can learn what you have to say to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is this life to live, and that, Lord, you've provided everything we need. Help us now as we study your word. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So the beginning of this passage, or this portion, Paul says here in chapter 4, 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And this goes to what I said earlier. Chapters 1 through 3 is wonderful truth. And we are to live based upon truth, based upon revelation, things that we would not know apart from the Word of God. We live by the truth that we see in the Word of God. That's what we live by. Not, as he says, the vanity of our minds. Take a look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 12. "There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." You know, there's all sorts of ways that seem right. There's all sorts of, as I mentioned, philosophies, all sorts of ways that seem right in this world. But though it says those are the ways of death. Those are the ways of death. You know, we're called, it says, lean not on our own understanding, right? But in all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. That's why we need the word of God. That's why we need revelation, to know what is true. Because our own imaginations will take us in the wrong direction every time. Another passage, take a look at Romans. Romans 1. So if we neglect the word of God, we'll be susceptible to the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We'll be susceptible if we neglect the word. That's why it's so important to be in the word. But it says here in Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, I can't help but, when I read that, to think about the evolution evangelists that are out today. You see a lot of that today. They deny that there's a creator. They deny that God created this world when all the evidence points to that. Yet they can't believe that, that there's a God. They don't want to be accountable to a God who created this world. So it says that they profess themselves to be wise. They have all kinds of wonderful theories about origins. But what does it say? They became fools. Even my kids, you know, they come home from school. They know. It sounds foolish. We came from monkeys? They laugh about that. It's foolish that people would push that. But they do. But that's just one thing that's out there in this world. But that's the kind of thing that you get in the world. The values, the philosophies, the theories, all these things that are constantly bombarding us. And that's why it's so important to be in the Word, to know the truth, because we are to live according to the truth. So back in Ephesians 4, the result of following the vanity of our minds. It says here, and this is talking about unbelievers, it says, verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling or callous have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. The result of this pursuing the vanity of our minds is a deeper and deeper depravity. It says there that they've given themselves over, just completely sold out to the lust of the flesh. No restraint. And that's such a picture of the world that we live in. But verse 20. And this is such a wonderful portion here. But you have not so learned Christ. See, we've seen something greater. We see the suffering and the depravity of this world, the things that happen in this world. We've seen something greater in the Lord Jesus Christ. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not so learned Christ. Take a look at Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. In verse 16. Matthew 4:16, it says, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. we've seen something greater in the Lord Jesus Christ. His earthly ministry here on the earth. All that we read in the Gospels. And the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is He is our deliverance from the darkness. He is our deliverance from the sinking depravity of the flesh. He is the one that will set our feet on a rock. He's the one that will keep us from the direction of our natural ways. And that's why it's so important, as I mentioned, to continue to walk with Him and to read the Word. And not only is He our Savior, not only is He the one that died on the cross for our sins and rose again, and when we put our faith in Him, He declares us righteous. And that's a wonderful truth of justification. He has declared us righteous. But you know what? It doesn't end there. There's more. Not only is He our justifier, He is our sanctifier. He not only has He declared us righteous, He wants to make us righteous. He wants to make us righteous in our conduct, how we treat one another, how we live our lives. That's what He will do. And we get a taste of how He does that here in this book, in this passage. And it goes on here. It says, "But you have not so learned Christ," verse 20. Verse 21, "If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus." See, we need to know what He teaches, what His life is about. What we need to know Him. And then in verse 22 it starts, that you put off. And then verse 24, you put on. So there's four words here I want to focus on. Put off and put on. We are to put off something, and we're to put on something else. And you have to put off before you can put on. Again, I have a lot of illustrations from my kids. You can tell what my life is like consumed with. But sometimes you get them up in the morning, and you say, put on your clothes, and they don't take off their pajamas, and they put their clothes on right over their pajamas. I said, no, you have to take off your pajamas first, and then you put your clothes on. For us, it comes natural. We know that. We have to teach that. Right? We have to put off before we can put on. And here it says that you put off concerning the former conversation or behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So we're supposed to put off something. It's that old nature. And the reality is it's already happened, right? Once we put our faith in Lord Jesus Christ, this is true. But we need to acknowledge it to be true. And there's four R's I want to talk about when it comes to putting off. Four R's. Reckon, recognize, and renounce. Three R words I want to talk about. Reckon. Romans 6. Our brother Ernie was recently in this passage. Romans 6, we have to know something to be true. It says in Romans 6, verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Verse 11, Romans 6, 11. "Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we are to reckon. We are to count as true that we have been crucified with Christ, that the old man has been crucified with Christ, that we are dead to sin. I no longer serve that master. That's what we need to count as true, regardless of how I feel. We put it off. The second R is recognize. Recognize the source of our conduct. As a believer, we have two natures. We have the new nature and the old nature. And we need to recognize the source of our behavior. Is that coming from the old nature or is that coming from the new nature? The character of our life is based on the source. New man versus the old man. You know, when we sin, if we recognize that I've sinned against someone, against the Lord, we need to acknowledge that was the old man. The old man was in full display. And we need to admit our sin. We need to call it what it is. Oh, you know, I didn't have a good night's sleep last night, and, you know, I was not very patient, so it's not my fault, right? That's what we do. No, we have to admit our sin, call it what it is, and don't make excuses. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess means to agree. We agree with God. Yes, that is sin. I don't make any excuses for it. It's sin. We recognize the source of our conduct. And lastly, the third R is renounce. We renounce. Take a look at Ephesians 4, 7. Back in Ephesians. 17. Ephesians 4, 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. From now on, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. From henceforth, from now on. I remember as a young believer living in Madison, going to school, I had one foot firmly planted in the world, and the Lord was calling me to follow him. And I wanted what he had for me. I knew he was calling me. But that one foot was still in the world. And I'd say, yes, Lord, I'm following you. And I'd get stuck. I could only go so far before, you know, I couldn't follow him. You know, and there's something about back here, there's some security in this old life. You know, if this doesn't work out following Jesus, I've got this to fall back on. But no, the Lord said, follow me. And I remember at a meeting singing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, and it scared the wits out of me. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to move this foot. I'm going to make a decision to follow you. And I remember I started walking, and I followed him. And I'm not saying that everything's been, you know, picture perfect from that point, but I know I can see back at that time in my life and know that I have decided to follow Jesus. I decided to follow him. So we renounce. We have that old life, the old way of doing things, all of those things that we identified with, we found satisfaction in, that's got to go. And the Lord knows exactly what that is in each person's life. It's not the same in everyone's life, what we have to let go of. But God knows, and he tells us, you got to let go of that. That's got to go. So we renounce. From now on, I've decided to follow Jesus. So we put off, but then we put on. We put on. And there's three P's that I've got for putting on. Position, possessions, and power. Position, possessions, power. The first point in putting on is claim our position in Christ. Acknowledge it to be true. Ephesians 2, 6. I read it earlier. Ephesians 2, 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. As I said, in some miraculous, wonderful way, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Claim our position in Christ. Lord, I don't belong in this world. I'm a new creation in Christ. I have new life. That's not who I am anymore. Claim who we are. Acknowledge what God declares to be true about you. Possessions. Set our hearts on our possessions in Christ. I read the verse earlier. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Set our hearts on those spiritual blessings that we have. Seek those things which are above, Colossians 3:1-2. And Matthew 6, lay up treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If our treasure is here on this earth, that's where our heart will be. But if we lay up treasures in heaven, our heart will be there. And then lastly, power. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This Christian life is not dependent upon my strength, my ability. It's His power, and we can rely on His power to know this life in this world today. So back here in Ephesians 4. So this is the point where it gets very practical. And really what this is, I believe, is comparing and contrasting this new life compared to the old life. The old way of doing things versus the new way that God has for us. And it's a really great description of what this new life looks like, that God wants us to live, that we can live. It says here in verse 24, and the remainder of this is just very practical. Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, the old way, lying. The new way, speaking truth one to another. That's the new life that God has for us. If there's one sin that is identified with the enemy, Satan, I mean, it's pride is one of them, but the other one is lying, right? He's the father of lies. Lying is so contrary to the nature of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on the earth, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. This new nature that we have will speak truth. It will not deceive. It will not lie. It will not try to cover up. We speak truth one to another. We ought to have transparent lives before each other. Nothing to hide. Ephesians 4, here's another verse. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. So we are to speak truth. We are to tell the truth. We're to have transparent lives. And that's the new nature. And that's the nature that's already there. That's the new creation. Speaking truth. So put away lying. Verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So there is such a thing as righteous indignation. There is such a thing as that. You know, and if really we're not angry, we're probably not paying much attention to the things that are going on in this world. There is a certain anger that we have towards sin, towards things that dishonor God, that are not pleasing to Him. There is righteous indignation. But if left unchecked, allowed to fester, it can become a foothold for the enemy. It says, neither give place to the devil. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That irritated, embittered anger is something that will, like I said, have a foothold for the enemy and do much damage in lives. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a, I know when Aaron and I got married, that was the verse, right? Don't go to bed angry, right? Married couples. Deal with it beforehand and then go to bed. Don't give the enemy 7-8 hours to work overnight, right? Deal with it now. Verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. You know, the old man, that old nature, it's empty. It demands its needs to be met. It desires, it envies, it lusts, it covets. It steals, but it's never satisfied. That's the old nature, just desires and wants and takes at whatever cost, whatever means necessary. I'm going to try to meet that need, and it steals. And that is that old nature. But it says here, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. So what a transformation in this life. One that would take from others to try to fill that void. Instead of that, now that life is giving to others. What a transformation. Why would I need to take anything? I have everything I need in Christ. So it flows out to give to others. That's the new life that we have. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The flesh, the old nature, uses corrupting words to tear other people down. Right? I tear other people down so I feel better about myself. I feel guilty or miserable, and there's some satisfaction in making everyone else around me feel the same way. That's the old nature. That's the old way. But the new man, what does it say? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Instead of tearing other people down, I'm lifting people up. I'm speaking words of encouragement to one to others. See, the flesh will always feel will feel inadequate. It'll feel inferior. It'll have insecurities. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we know that I am accepted in Him, all of those things fade away. Those inferiorities, inadequacies, insecurities, they fade away when I know that I am accepted in the Beloved. And now I don't have to try to tear people down to feel better about myself. I don't have to do that. I find my perfect acceptance in Christ. And therefore I love to lift others up. That's the new nature. Verse 30. And we're almost done here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And that speaks of relationship to the living God. We have a relationship with the living God. And, we've been taught this before, that there are sins that we can do that grieve God. When we sin, we grieve Him. It's a sin of commission, something that I do. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. There's another sin, a sin of omission, something that I should have done, but I didn't. And that's quenching the Spirit. But this is talking about grieving the Holy Spirit. And I think about in our lives, the Lord wants to use us to be lifting up others. And if I'm in my sin and I haven't confessed sin, I'm carrying the guilt of sin around in my life. The Holy Spirit, instead of empowering me to be a blessing to others, the Holy Spirit has turned inward, convicting me of my sin. And I am turned inward. And all I can think about is myself. But when I confess my sin, it's like now the Holy Spirit can use me and work in others' lives because of I'm right with Him. And that's, I think, about the difference between living the new nature and the old nature. So verse 31. This is a list of characteristics of that old nature. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, it says, let all bitterness that be put away. Bitterness. Bitterness poisons everything. When we're bitter about something, regardless of what's going on around us, we're always, if we're bitter, it poisons everything. Poisons relationships, resentful, malice. It says there, malice. Be put away from you with all malice. Malice is having secret ill will towards others. We dwell and fester on ill will towards others around us. That's the old nature. But the new nature, verse 32. And be kind one to another. Instead of being harsh and bitter and sharp with each other, we're kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Instead of being callous. You know, it says, verse 19, who being past feeling or callous. No. We're tender-hearted. We are compassionate towards others. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So forgiving one another, treating the offending party graciously, not holding grudges. You know, I think about that parable. The Lord told the parable about the unjust steward, where the servant went to his master and the master forgave him of his debt of a lifetime of wages, millions and millions of dollars. He forgave him. And then that unjust steward goes to somebody he knows that owes him pennies, and he demands payment back for the pennies after he's been forgiven millions of dollars. That's what we do when we hold grudges. If I know that I've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, how dare I hold grudges against someone? When I think about the sin that I have in my life and what the Lord forgave me, how dare I hold this person to some higher standard? We don't hold grudges. We forgive. So, in summary, we have every provision to live this life. This is the life that's available to us. The moment that we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this life is available. And it starts with receiving Him. And if you have not ever put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not received Him as your Savior, now's the time to do it. The Bible is filled with what is true, what God declares to be true about those that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not, they're not nice verses. So if you don't know the Lord, today is the day. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and He rose again from the dead. And you will be saved. Put your faith in Him, what He has done. And for those that do know the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, this life is available. There is a life to live. We can put off those old ways and put on these wonderful new ways that God has for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for all that you have accomplished for us on the cross. We thank you, Lord, that not only have you saved us, but Lord, you are sanctifying us. You are making us holy. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would desire this holiness that you have for us, this new life that we can live moment by moment. Help us to seek you, to seek in your word the truths that will transform us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you're doing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.